Christmas season, thought it might be fun to start with a little festive trivia. And you get to participate in this trivia. Now, as we start with the trivia, stay with me, because the trivia takes us somewhere, okay? So how many people have ever heard of Amazon? Okay, I thought maybe most of us would have, because there are Amazon distribution centers popping up all around us, right? So how many of you had ever heard of Amazon before the distribution center started popping up? Okay, most of us have heard of Amazon. Amazon started out in a garage in Bellevue, Washington, on July 5th, 1994, as an online distribution for books. Since that time, Amazon has expanded just a little bit to become one of the excuse me, big five companies in the U.S., along with Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and I just forgot the fifth one. Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Amazon. What am I missing? What's the other big five?
Instagram.
Okay. When that comes to me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll let y'all know. Okay? What is it? No. Apple. Apple. Who said Apple? Bravo. It is Apple. It's Apple. Okay. And notice that most of them are all information technology companies. You know, Amazon is not considered a retail company. Amazon is considered an information technology company. So there are some programs and features with Amazon. How many of you have ever heard of Amazon Prime? How many of you are Amazon Prime subscribers? If you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you are one of 250 million subscribers. With Amazon Prime, there are some fascinating features. You get to see the Prime Day deals. You can get free same-day shipping on items. You can actually now, they will send you a notification, and if your item is at one of the local distribution centers, you can actually go pick it up, because they have it, they'll pull it, and you go and pick it up. All sorts of features. If you can't get same-day shipping, you can get next-day shipping and sometimes two-day shipping, but that's free shipping as part of Amazon. You get access to free music, free books, free streaming, and just a bunch of features that come with Amazon Prime. A couple of the other fascinating features, and again, stay with me, I know this is trivia, but this is trivia that takes us somewhere. So a couple of the other features are, when it comes to the delivery and the shipping stuff, did you know that you can actually give the Amazon delivery person a one-time code to your home? They can open it. It's called Amazon Key. And so through Amazon Key, you can give the delivery driver a one-time code. They can open your door, leave your delivery inside rather than outside, because now the trend is what's called porch pirates. How many people have ever heard of porch pirates? Those are people that drive the neighborhood, and when they see a package on your house and you're not home, they go up and take it and all that. So with Amazon Key, they can get into your house and leave your package. How many of your cars have OnStar? Anybody's car have OnStar? If your car has OnStar, you can give the Amazon Key a code to your trunk, and they can open your trunk and put your package in your trunk for you. How many people have ever heard of Chamberlain garage door openers? Chamberlain, you got anybody got a Chamberlain? Okay, we have a Chamberlain garage door opener, which is a whole story in itself after the house that we bought. and all that. We have a Chamberlain garage door opener on our double bay door and on our single bay door. Through that Chamberlain garage door opener, which connects to our home Wi-Fi, which whoever knew you needed your garage door opener to connect to your home Wi-Fi, right? There's an app called MyQ that we can download and connect that app to our garage door opener. I could take my phone right now and open up the app, and I could open our garage door from here. I can close our garage door from here. I can get notifications that, oh, hey, my kids are home because they just opened the garage door, or somebody opened the garage door. I can also set our garage door to notify me or close automatically at 11 o'clock, if at whatever time I pick, if we forgot to close the garage door. But through this app, I can also allow Amazon into our garage to deliver our packages that we purchase. Now, I told you this trivia was leading us somewhere. Where it's leading us is to encourage all of you to do all of your Christmas shopping through Amazon. It's so incredibly easy, right? That's not where this is leading us. Where this is leading us is to the ideas of home and sharing. Now, though Amazon Prime is a favorite program and feature for a lot of people, one of my favorites through Amazon is called Amazon Household. Amazon Household allows us as a family to connect our account together. It allows us to share payment methods, books, music, videos, all sorts of things. Amazon Household allows our home to share. And home is an incredibly important part of our lives. Home is not a place where we live. Home is a place where we should belong. Home is a place where we should feel safe. Home is a place where we should feel secure. Home is a place where love should prevail. And in a world that often doesn't feel safe, that often doesn't feel secure, in a world where love seems not to prevail, the longing for home is higher than maybe ever before. The longing for people to experience a place that they call home. And this type of home, that is a place where we belong, a place that's safe, a place that's secure, a place where love prevails, is a place that's worth sharing. When we hear good news, we want to share it. We want to tell as many people about it as possible. When we experience a place where we belong, where we're safe, where we're secure, and where love prevails, it is something worth sharing. When we go to a new restaurant, when we find a new restaurant that's really, really good, we tell other people about it. When we get a new recipe that we like, you tell other people about it. The reality is that when we hear good news, there is something in us. We are just wired to want to share that. The story of the first Christmas is a story of home. It is a story of belonging, a story of being safe and secure, a story in which love prevails. And it is a story worth sharing. It was a story worth sharing when it happened, and it's a story still worth sharing today. So we're going to walk through part of the story today. And part of the story where we discover that this idea of home is worth sharing. And this idea of home that's worth sharing is found in the story of the first Christmas. First century doctor and historian Luke wrote an orderly account. He thoroughly investigated everything to write an orderly account about the events of Jesus' life, including his birth. And so here's how Luke records this part of the story of the first Christmas. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. A census, we know, is for counting people. But not only is it used for counting people, in the Roman government, it was used for the purposes of taxation. You knew where people lived and who, how many people were in your province and how many people were in your kingdom. If you were Caesar, it was about your kingdom. And how large your kingdom was and how much power you wielded in the kingdom. And so he decreed this census to be taken so that at that time he could let everyone know how big his kingdom was and the power that he wielded in it. The power that Caesar wielded in the kingdom caused him to adopt a moniker for himself. He called himself the Savior of the world. And the Roman culture used a word to describe the beginning of a Caesar's reign. The word is called euangelion. The word euangelion is where we get the English word gospel. And it literally means good news. So they would share the news about the start of a Caesar's reign with this word euangelion because they believed that the beginning of Caesar's reign was good news for them. Caesar also had a coin that the inscription on the coin gave his birth date and said, the birth of the god. But here's something that's interesting about Caesar Augustus. Do you notice that we don't celebrate the reign of Caesar Augustus today? Declare he was savior of the world. But we don't celebrate Caesar Augustus, his reign. Nor do we celebrate his birthday, the birth of the god. We don't celebrate that either. If you want to, it's September 23rd. But we don't celebrate that. Why not? Maybe because at this time when this census was decreed, something else was going on that is more prevalent and more important and more powerful around this idea of home. And maybe there was other news that was more worth sharing than the reign of Caesar Augustus. Around that time, there were other events taking place that are still incredibly compelling and powerful today. In another part of the world, something is happening as the result of the decree that Caesar put in place. Let's pick up the story and see what happens. And because Joseph was the descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. Joseph, as a descendant of King David, had to travel back to his hometown, David's ancient home, to be counted in the decree. The name of the town was Bethlehem. And Bethlehem literally is translated house of bread. And so Joseph makes this trip to the house of bread. And when I think of Christmas, and I think of bread, I think of dinner rolls. And here's why I think of dinner rolls. Every Christmas, we would spend, when I was younger, we would spend Christmas Eve with my dad's side of the family. And then on Christmas morning, we would get up, have our family Christmas, and then spend Christmas afternoon with my mom's side of the family. And every year, around lunch, there were always dinner rolls. And there was a thing that began to happen every year with dinner rolls. And it took place primarily between my uncle, my dad, and myself. Inevitably, my uncle would butter his dinner roll and put it on his plate. But rarely was my uncle the one to eat the dinner roll that he buttered and put on his plate, because either my dad or myself would steal it and eat it. Even at Thanksgiving, this year, my mom and dad hosted Thanksgiving. My uncle went through the food line. He had his plate and all that there, and there sat his dinner roll on his plate. I walked by, reached around, snagged his dinner roll, and I said, I was a little early because it wasn't buttered yet. So, when I think of House of Bread, I think of dinner rolls. But I not only think of dinner rolls when I think about Christmas, I think of home. I think of my grandparents' home on Southeast Street in Indianapolis, where we spent many, many Christmas afternoons. I think of the home that they bought in southeastern Kentucky to retire, where we would go and spend Thanksgiving. I think of this incredible wraparound porch that they had on that home in Kentucky. It was on three sides, not four, but we could run from one side all the way around to the other and jump, and then run and jump back up and run. And we did this for, I mean, I can tell you how many times we ran around that wraparound porch, but I think of home. And I think of the log cabin that they built to replace that home when they decided to rebuild. And I think of the home that my sister and I woke up in at 5 a.m. on Christmas morning, so incredibly excited for Christmas, but also knowing that we were not allowed to get up at 5 a.m. So we went into her room, and we sat on her bed, and we played cards until the time that we were allowed to get up, because we were so excited about Christmas. So when I think about Christmas, I think about home. And I wonder what it was like for Joseph in the story of the first Christmas, because he had to go to David's ancient home, but to go to David's ancient home, he had to leave his home. And it was for a time, but he had to leave his home and travel to his ancient home because Caesar decreed that a census needed to be taken. Well, Joseph doesn't make this trip alone. Luke tells us he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child, which, if you're at all familiar with the story, it was very scandalous. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. So Joseph left his home with his pregnant, probably now wife, who wasn't his wife when she was found to be pregnant, which is part of the whole scandalous nature of the story. To go to David's ancient home is the result of a decree that Caesar had issued. And when they get there, there is no home for them. So they have, this baby is born in a makeshift home, in what's probably like a stable. And I have to wonder if during this time, if Joseph didn't long for home, or did Joseph find a way to make home where he was? In the meantime, as this baby is being born in this makeshift home, something amazing is happening with a group of shepherds in a nearby field. And here's what Luke tells us is happening there. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news." The word that's used there, euangelion. The same word that's used by the Roman culture to describe the start of the Caesar's reign. "That will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." So the angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord shines around the angels, or the shepherds. And they announce the birth of a baby who is the Savior of the world. Now, what's interesting about this is the shepherds are the first ones to hear the news of this birth. And in the culture of the day, there were in Israel certain occupations that were they were labeled undesirable occupations. That was the word, the phrasing that was used. Undesirable occupations. A shepherd was an undesirable occupation. They were mistrusted. They were considered to be lying, thieving, manipulative people. And so there's not a lot of trust put in them. But yet, for some reason, it's these lying, thieving, manipulative people who are the ones to first receive the news, the good news about the birth of the Savior of the world. In fact, in the Jewish, there's a Jewish writing called the Midrash. And in the Jewish Midrash, it says that there is no occupation more undesirable than that of a shepherd. But for some reason, God chooses them to receive the news first. So back to our trivia. How many of you have ever felt undesirable? How many of you have maybe ever felt unworthy or unloved? Or unsafe? How many of you have ever longed for home? Home is found in the story of the first Christmas, when the angels announced the birth of the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior of the world, has been born in the city of Bethlehem. The shepherds took and they shared dinner rolls with each other. I made that part up. I didn't read that in the story. So what did the shepherds do when they received the news? Luke tells us what the shepherds do when they receive the news. It says, "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Notice what they say to each other. "Let's go to Bethlehem." But why? Why go to Bethlehem? "Let's see this thing that has happened." It appears that the shepherds actually believe what the angels share with them. How many of you have ever on social media seen a post that had been shared by somebody, and when the person shared the post, they added their little note up there that said something to the effect of, "You've got to see this." Well, and then all of a sudden it gets shared, and it gets shared, and it goes viral because people saw something that was intriguing or heard something that was intriguing and had to share it. There's just something about us that we're wired to have to share stuff like that, right? The angel said, "Let's see this thing that has happened." Or the shepherd said that. Maybe the angel's declaration to them, maybe the news that they shared was, "You've got to see this," enough that would have made it go viral had the shepherds had social media. Well, the shepherds didn't have social media. So they said to each other, let's go see this thing that has happened. They said, it has happened. The angels told us, we believed it. Let's go check this out for ourselves. And then Luke tells us that not only do they say, let's go, they actually go. It says they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. It was just as the angels had told them it would be. Not only did it create a sense of expectancy in the shepherds, but it created a sense of urgency. Notice that it says they hurried to Bethlehem. They couldn't wait to go see this thing that has happened. You know, there's probably no doubt that a baby had been born in Bethlehem. That probably wasn't uncommon. But this wasn't any ordinary baby. This was a baby who was claimed to be, or told to be, the Savior of the world. And they said, this we got to see. This we have to find. And they hurry, and they go, and they discover it to be just as the angel had said. And I have to wonder. I have to wonder what that was like. They hurried there, but I wonder if they lingered there. I wonder if they stayed. Because when they got there, they experienced a sense of home because of this baby. I wonder if they sensed belonging and safety and security. And I wonder if they sensed that through the birth of this baby, God's love was prevailing. I wonder what that was like for them. And I wonder what they did while they were there. Did they just stand and stare? Yep, there's the baby. Did they have any conversation with Mary and Joseph? Did they explain to Mary and Joseph while they were there? Did they explain to Mary and Joseph that we had to come see this baby? Because the good news of the birth was shared with us, and the angels came, and the angels told us, and what the angels told us, we had to come and see for ourselves. And Joseph and Mary go, yeah, we know. Yeah, we know. I wonder if they sat down together for a meal, and if they stole each other's dinner rolls. I wonder. I wonder what they did. Did they get to hold the baby? You know, because when we go visit somebody in the hospital or at a home who's had a baby, what do you got to do? You got to hold the baby, right? Can you imagine this? The angels come and share that the baby born in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world, the long-awaited Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting for. And they go and they see this baby, and there's Mary and there's Joseph. And one of the shepherds gets up the courage, because this always takes courage, right? One of the shepherds gets up the courage to go to Mary and say, hey, Mama, can I hold the baby? Mary's like, you're out of your mind. This is the Son of God. You ain't holding this baby. Can you imagine if one of the shepherds was one of the first ones other than Mary and Joseph to hold that baby? And they did it because of the good news that had been shared with them. What would you do with that kind of news? What would you do with the news that the Savior of the world had been born? And you had gone and found it and discovered that everything was just like the angels said. And you'd gotten to hold that baby. What would you do with that news? Well, at some point, the shepherds had to go back to the fields. But what would they do with the news? According to Luke, they told everyone about it. This wasn't just a new recipe. This wasn't just a new restaurant. This wasn't about Caesar. This was about God's love. This was about home. This was about God taking on human form in this baby, because of his great love for people. Luke tells us, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. They told everyone because it was a story worth sharing. It was a story worth telling. And guess what? Guess what? It's still a story worth sharing. And it's still a story worth telling. It wasn't about Caesar. It's about Jesus. It's about God's love. And it wasn't about the Roman Empire. It's about God's kingdom. It's not about the Roman citizens or the Jewish people. It's about all people. The angel said, this will bring good news of great joy for all people, including people like you, including people like me, and including anybody around us who has some kind of longing for home. Because the story of the first Christmas is the story of home. This was a story the shepherds could not keep to themselves. And Luke tells us, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. I wonder, and you know, sometimes I wish the biblical narrative gave us more details and more pieces of the story. I wonder if when the shepherds went and told everybody and all these people were astonished, I wonder how many other people had to go see for themselves. We're not given any detail about what, we're given the details that the shepherds showed up and the Magi showed up, right? I got to think other people showed up. I got to think other people said, oh, we got to go see this for ourselves. This news is so good, we got to go check it out. I think, and again, this is just me thinking, so don't take this as any kind of gospel truth, okay, because it's not in the Bible, and I don't know because I wasn't there. But I got to think that at some point there was a line outside that stable. I think there was a line of people waiting to get in to see this baby. I know I'd have gotten in line. I'd have gone and checked it out. All who heard were astonished. Isn't that what good news does to us? Isn't that news that's worth sharing? Isn't that what it does to us? And then Luke tells us, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I don't know how the shepherds passed their time before, but for at least this night, the shepherds passed their time praising and glorifying God because they had received good news. And other than the angels, they were the first ones to share the good news. The angels are the first. The shepherds are second. Despised occupation. But yet God chose them to be the ones to share the good news. And isn't it amazing that all these centuries, thousands of years later, God chooses people like me and people like you to share the good news about this baby that was born in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. Caesar may have declared himself Savior of the world, but he wasn't. This baby born in Bethlehem was. Caesar may have had an inscription placed on a coin on his birthday, the birth of the God. But it wasn't. The night the angels showed up to the shepherds was the birth of God in human form to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, to create home, a place where we belong, a place where we can feel safe, a place where we can feel secure, and a place where love prevails. So I think during this Christmas season, God's message to each of us is welcome home. Or for some of us, come home. And for some of us, who the invitation that God wants to extend to come home are people that need to have the story shared. It's a story still we're sharing because Jesus is still in the business of changing lives and bringing people home. Let me pray for us as we wrap up our time together. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this incredibly powerful story about home, about Joseph traveling from home to home and creating a makeshift home, and the shepherds being introduced to that home, and the news of that home being shared with others, and for the news of that home being available to people like me. A place where love prevails. Thank you for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.